Thank you, Michael, for the prayer that you led us in a few moments ago. Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in the very uplifting hymn, Sing and Be Happy. And thank you, Mike, for giving us the reading of the scriptures there from Proverbs chapter 23. And thank each and every one of you for your presence here this afternoon. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible. I encourage you to follow along with the things that are going to be said from our lesson this evening titled Warnings from the Bible Concerning Alcoholic Drink. And if you find that I would happen to say something that would be amiss, I encourage you to please bring that to my attention. My desire is to preach the truth and nothing but the truth. And alcoholic drink is a somewhat controversial subject. And there are a lot of people who have various opinions concerning it. But it is a subject that we need to talk about and be aware of. And this afternoon, we're going to take some time to take a look at some warnings from the Bible concerning alcoholic drink. You see, as each and every one of us are aware of, the advertisement and the promotion of alcoholic drink, it's everywhere, isn't it? It's all around us. Sandy informed me just before services started this afternoon that they went to the state fair yesterday, and they were selling alcoholic drink all over the fair. And we all recognize that the advertisement and the promotion of alcoholic drink is something that we all see in our daily life. And contrary to the belief of many today, the consuming of alcoholic drink is very dangerous. Did you know that? Did you know that consuming alcohol is dangerous? You see, although there are many today who believe that consuming alcoholic drink in moderation will not hurt a thing, the fact of the matter is alcoholic drink has a profound effect upon one's mind and body, even if consumed in moderation. So, with the dangers of consuming alcoholic drink in mind, let's open up our Bibles and let's examine some warnings found in the Bible concerning alcoholic drink. And I begin by suggesting to us this afternoon that the Bible says, whoever is led astray by it is not wise. You see, we find these words of wisdom found there in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 1. And there the wise man penned, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Think about those words of wisdom for a moment. You see, this verse suggests alcoholic drink power to enslave one. You see that? And we learn here that when one consumes alcoholic drink, we learn here that wine, it mocks, it's a mocker. Simply put, it causes one to delight in scoffing at others. But we go on to see here that strong drink is a brawler. What comes to your mind when you hear that? Fighting? You see, simply put, those who consume alcoholic drink are usually those who are quick to start fights. They're quick to start fights. It can simply be said that alcoholic drink and the consumption of it makes one mean. I venture to say you probably are familiar with some who have consumed alcoholic drink. You've probably been around some and witnessed some of their actions. Before they start drinking, they could be some pretty nice people, right? But what happens after they get a few alcoholic drinks in them and starts to kick in? What happens? They start to change, don't they? They start to get mouthy, don't they? They start to start mocking and scoffing at people. They're ready to fight, right? They start to get mean. You see, again, we learn from Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, the power of alcoholic drink, its power to enslave one. And simply put, alcoholic drink causes one to act foolishly. That's why the Bible warns and says, whoever is led astray by it is not wise. But I also suggest to us this afternoon the fact that the Bible says that the drunkard will come to poverty. You ever think about that? You see, there in Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 21, the wise man said, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." Think about those words of wisdom. You see, excessive drinking and eating, the wise man says, it will bring drowsiness. And when you think about that, you think about the effects of excessive drinking. Not only the effects of it coupled with excessive eating, but just think about the effects of excessive drinking itself. Think about that. Think about how those who are constantly drinking alcoholic drink, how eventually it leads to drowsiness, how it makes them want to sleep. Sometimes some even just flat out pass out from it, right? They consume so much of it, they just pass out. But you think about that, and you think about how it will not only lead one to drowsiness, but you think about how it will lead one to idleness. And by the way, what's said about idleness? It's what? The devil's workshop, right? You see, you think about these effects, and you think about how these effects is a ready way to poverty. You see, when a man is constantly in a state of drowsiness, when a man is constant in a state of idleness, when a man is just flat out lazy and fails to be productive, what's going to happen? More than likely, that man's on the path to poverty, isn't he? But I also want you to think about this. When you think about a drunkard, what's always on a drunkard's mind? That next drink, right? A drunkard's always thinking about that next drink. And when you think about that, he's thinking about where he's going to get that next drink, or maybe even how he's going to get that next drink. And you think that about that, and you think it's because of that that they will spend all that they have on their belly. They'll spend all that they have to be able to get that next drink, won't they? Because that's all they think about. That's all that's on their mind. And when they do that, guess what? They're not going to have nothing left to spend on the back. And therefore, they will be clothed with rags. How often do we see this? I mean, take a trip downtown Indianapolis. I bet you say you're going to find some drunkards along the street there that's clothed in rags. But you want to know what they're going to have in their hand? Alcohol. Alcohol. You starting to see the dangers of alcoholic drink? Let's continue. Going back to Proverbs chapter 23, which Mike so ably read for us a few moments ago in our hearing, we learned that the Bible says that alcoholic drink will cause woe, sorrow, contentions, complaints, wounds without a cause, and redness of eyes. Let's read that again. Go back there with me. Beginning in verse 29 of Proverbs 23. The question is asked, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without a cause? Who has redness of eyes? Who is that? Well, notice the next verse, verse 30. Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. That's who. You see, think about that. Here is a vivid picture of the effects of alcoholic drink. Here's a vivid picture for us for the negative effects of alcoholic drink. We learn that those who have woe, by the way, that can be defined as great distress. Those who have sorrow, those who have contentions, complaints, wounds without a cause and redness of eyes, who are those? Who is that? Who has these things? those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Simply put, those who engage in the drinking of alcoholic drink. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the trouble and the pain that is described here in verse 29. Verse 29 has trouble written all over it, doesn't it? It's got trouble written all over it. And we see that those who linger at the wine, long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, that's what they're going to get. Trouble. They're going to have woe, great distress, sorrow, contentions, complaints, wounds without a cause, redness of eyes. You ever been around a drunkard? Take a look in his eyes. Notice how bloodshot they are. That's what alcoholic drink will do to you. It causes redness of eyes. When I think about verse 29, and I think about the questions that is asked, I think about those who hang around the bars and taverns. That's what comes to my mind. Those who spend their time in the bar and in the tavern, verse 29 can simply describe their life, right? But I also suggest to you another warning and danger concerning alcoholic drink that we learn from the Bible, picking up there in verse 31. The wise man goes on to say, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. Why? Well, notice verse 32. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Think about that. You see, simply put, the wise man saying, don't be deceived by the way that the wine looks in the cup. Don't be deceived by the way that wine sparkles when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, when it goes down smoothly. Don't be deceived, he says. Because he says, when you least expect it, it's going to bite you. It's going to bite you and it's going to sting you. That's a warning. You see, I want you to think about the analogy that's used here. I want you to think about this. I want you to be mindful of the fact, again, of not the need to be deceived by the way the wine sparkles when it's red. By the way it looks when it's in the cup. I want you to be mindful of not to be deceived even by the glamour that is even supposed to be associated with the drinking of wine. You watch television and you see some of these shows today that show some of the rich and famous drinking and always drinking and sipping on their wine. There are many today who want to associate the consuming of alcoholic drink with glamour. But don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived by it even when it goes down smoothly and it doesn't seem to have any harm. But rather be aware of its consequences. Be aware of the consequences that's associated with the consuming an alcoholic drink. Be mindful again of this analogy that is used here in verse 32, that at last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Think about that. You see, in a sense, it is as dangerous as the bite of a serpent and of a sting of a venomous viper. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want no part of any venomous snakes. I don't want no part of any snakes, period. I don't want no part of none. Craig can tell you about that. He kind of spooked me the other day out there on the lake and said, there's a snake. I about jumped out of the boat. I don't want no part of snakes. But here the analogy is used here in regard of the dangers of a snake bite. You think about that. A That's serious, isn't it? When he put the consequences of alcoholic drink in perspective. When you look at it like getting a bite from a venomous snake. That's what alcohol will eventually do to you, won't it? It's eventually, when you least expect it, it's going to creep up on you, and those effects of it's going to bite you. It's going to bite you. But let's continue. Because we go on to see there in verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 30 that the Bible says that it causes the eyes to see strange things and it causes the heart to utter perverse things. Again, have you ever been around one who has been consuming alcoholic drink and notice how different they are when they're consuming alcohol from when they are when they're sober? Have you ever been around that? Have you ever witnessed that? Have you ever noticed the difference? And an individual who's sober compared to when they're full of intoxicating drink? You ever notice that difference? I venture to say some of us have. You see, they act differently, don't they? I've had encounters with those who have been engaging in the drinking of alcoholic drink and been around them and be standing there and I've literally had people say, "Did you see that?" I'd be like, "See what? What are you talking about? I didn't see nothing." And again, they become so intoxicated that their minds started to play tricks on them, and they literally start to see things that are not there. They see strange things, as the wise man said. I've definitely been around people who have been drinking, and boy, it seems like that everything that comes out of your mouth is perverse. It's foul. Alcoholic drink has that effect on people, doesn't it? It certainly causes people to utter perverse things. And did you know that there are many immoral acts that are often attributed to the consuming of alcoholic drink? Did you know that? Many acts of immorality are often committed and attributed to the consuming of alcoholic drink. Again, it's dangerous. We go on to see there in verses 34 and 35 of Proverbs chapter 23, where the Bible even informs us that the effects of alcoholic drink will make one vulnerable to the dangerous situations, and it will make one feel like they were beaten, though they did not even feel it. You see, notice verse 34 and 35 with me. Wise man said, "Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, 'They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?'" Again, think about this illustration here. This illustration, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast. This illustration illustrates the irresponsible state of mind of one who is under the influence of alcoholic drink. Talks about not only their irresponsibility, their unstableness, but also the dangerous situation that they're going to find themselves in. I mean, think about that. Can you picture being one who just goes out and lies down in the midst of the sea? That's dangerous, isn't it? I mean, we all know what's going to happen. Think about one who climbs up a mast and lies at the top of it. It's not a place I want to be. You see, again, We see, as the scriptures warn concerning the dangers of alcoholic drink, how it continually denotes the effects of consuming it. We see also there in verse 35 where it says, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beat me, but I did not feel it." Think about that. Again, if you talk to a drunk, you talk to one who engages in consuming alcoholic drink, after a drinking binge, after a night out on the town, so to speak, I bet you say some of them's going to tell you, "I feel rough. I feel rough. I feel like I've been in a fight and I don't even remember." I've talked to people that have said that exact thing. And that's exactly what the wise man's saying here. You see, they feel like that they've been beaten, or that, you know, that they recognize that they've been something wrong anyway, or that they have this pain, uncomfortable feeling. Oftentimes it's referred to as a hangover. That's what it's referred to as. But we see, though, in the next part of that verse where it says, when they awake, what's the first thing on their mind? What do they go in search of? Another drink. Sad, isn't it? But again, the Bible warns concerning the dangers of alcoholic drink. We go on to see, moving on there, in Isaiah chapter 28. And by the way, in the context here of Isaiah chapter 28, the prophet is addressing the drunkards of Ephraim. And I want you to notice what is said there as he addresses this woe to the drunkards of Ephraim, picking up there in verse 7 of Isaiah 28. He says, But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. Now pay attention. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Again, we see here that alcoholic drink has a profound effect on one's mind. We see here that alcoholic drink, intoxicating drink, it impairs one's judgment. It clouds one's thinking, leading them to stumble in judgment. Simply put, intoxicating drink alters one's normal state of mind. And it causes them to make bad choices and or decisions. How true. How true, right? Again, if you've engaged in the consuming of alcoholic drink, or if you've been close to those who have, you recognize the profound effect that it has upon one's judgment. You recognize how it alters one's normal state of mind and how it causes and often leads to them making bad choices or decisions. Again, it's dangerous. We learn, going there to the New Testament, there in Galatians chapter 5, the fact that the Bible says drunkenness is an evident work of the flesh. Did you know that? You see here, as Paul catalogs the work of the flesh, I want us to notice what one of those are that are mentioned there. Notice that with me, turning there to Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 19. Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies." Verse 21, envy, murders, there it is, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Think about that. You see, as Paul is beginning here in instructing the children of God to walk in the Spirit, he's telling them to walk in the Spirit there in verse 16. And he says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he goes on to talk about the works of the flesh, and he mentions drunkenness there, and rivalries and the like. And he talks about how those who engage in the practice of such, well, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But fast forward down there with me to verse number 25. And notice Paul's instruction. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Remember that. You see, as children of God, we need to understand that we need to be walking in the Spirit. We need to be a people who exemplify the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, rather than making the lust of the flesh or works of the flesh evident in our lives. Remember that. We go on to see there in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Turn there with me, if you will, there to Ephesians chapter 5. And there in Ephesians chapter 5, we learn that the Bible says that being drunk is dissipation. By the way, that word dissipation means an excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures, which is unsafe and a wasteful expenditure. But notice here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul's instruction. He says, and do not be drunk with wine. Why, Paul? In which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, the idea here is that it is unsafe to be drunk with wine. It is unsafe, and it's that which leads to sensuality and lust. It denotes excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. It denotes a wasteful expenditure. Simply put, those who are drunk with wine are just wasting their time. Not only are they putting themselves in danger, but they're wasting time. Valuable time. Precious time. And by the way, what does Paul say to do with the time there in that context? To redeem it, right? To make the most of it. You see, simply put, I encourage each and every one of us to not be deceived from the advertisements and the promotions of alcoholic drink. I encourage us to understand and to recognize the dangers of alcoholic drink. Remembering, as Paul said there in Galatians 5, and as we're about to read again here in 1 Corinthians 6, that those who practice drunkenness, those who are constantly, and those who consume alcoholic drink, how he made it very clear, drunkards are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Notice these words of Paul with me. Turn there to 1 Corinthians 6. Again, here in 1 Corinthians 6, the inspired apostle penned, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He goes on to say, do not be deceived. Again, Paul's giving a warning here. Anytime you see those words in the scriptures, do not be deceived, pay attention. Because he goes on to say, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Again, my beloved brethren, don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourself. Make no mistake about it. Drunkenness is sin. It's sin. And Paul made it very clear that the drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't get any more serious than that, does it? It doesn't get any more serious than that. And it is because of that that we all need to take heed to the warnings given in the Bible concerning alcoholic drink. Again, these are a few of the warnings concerning alcoholic drink that are found in the Bible. Therefore, may we all take heed to these warnings concerning alcoholic drink, for by doing so, we will avoid the consequences that come along with consuming alcoholic drink. We're about to sing an invitation song inviting anyone who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will to do so at this time. And I want you to be mindful of God's desire for all men to be saved. We learn about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, don't we? You see, God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And that includes each and every one of us here this day. And if there would happen to be one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, we plead with you to do that this very hour while you have an opportunity to do so. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of heaven. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. Maybe you have sin in your life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins. You're encouraged to confess them to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. You're encouraged to get back on that straight, narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have an opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the brethren here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we're making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Bruce is Selected.